I'm going to introduce our speaker. Many of you have met him already today, but I'm going to refresh those who have not met our friend Steve Schultz. If you recall, John Jinks was here about a year ago, and their role in our association is very similar, but I'll explain that in just about a minute's time. We're part of the Wisconsin Association of Regular Baptist Churches. Now, let's try to say that five times fast. Good luck with that. But John is the state representative, and he is a tremendous help to pastors and churches around the state. And last year, since John is, we'll just say he has other irons in the fire, John is in high demand, and he has... he's part of another organization called Baptist Church Planters, and he is very involved in that, and that's a nationwide organization. But so for the state, he wanted to be involved, but he knew he couldn't dedicate the amount of time needed to make it worthwhile. So we've created, as an association, a threesome: a state representative, that's Pastor Jinks; a state educator, that's Dr. Jeremy Scott down near Madison, and very qualified for that. And then Pastor Steve Schultz. Once you retire, you get busier, right? Is that how it works? Okay. But his title is the state builder. He just resigned from the church in Keele after 36 years. Still involved there, but now involved statewide as the state builder. Not the state architect, but the state builder of... As if you think of edification, if you think of encouragement, that's the kind of builder he is. And so I've invited him to come and share with us today, but basically to get acquainted. He with us better. He's been a friend of the church for many, many years, and but yet for us to get acquainted with him and the ministry with our association. So you come, my brother, and share with us the word.
I'm glad to be here this morning. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So I am the Wisconsin Association of Regular Baptist Churches state builder. And I'm trying to, my job is to build oneness, build up the association of churches across our fine state of Wisconsin. If you notice, we have three individuals now. Pastor Smith mentioned that. We have Dr. Jeremy Smith, pastor of a large church in Verona. And we have John Jenks, who speaks all across America. And then you have Steve Schultz. I've never pastored a church with more than 40 members or so. We have 50 people on Sunday, on a good Sunday. And that's as large, well, maybe a few years ago, quite a few years ago, we might have had like up to 75. But I've just been a small-time pastor in a small church for pretty much my entire ministry. Your church is a great encouragement to churches like mine, because for a lot of years, you were a church just exactly like ours, running about that same attendance. And sometimes we'd talk with Pastor Sorensen, and our church would be doing good, and yours would be going through a tough time, and then that'd switch around. And then God has blessed your church, and it is just so encouraging for people like me. You know, our church is just like yours. And it's so encouraging to small churches with small attendance to see, yeah, you can just preach the word, you can sing hymns, love people, and your church can grow. And so keep up the good work here. You are a great encouragement to us. A little bit about myself. Here's one thing I've got going for me. I know the WARBC. I was raised pretty much outside of church, hardly ever went. I was just talking to her about it. She says, I thought you went, and I just don't remember. I remember going to Sunday school maybe three or four times growing up. And Then mom got saved. There was a group, a music group from Faith Baptist Bible College, who came and ministered at our little church in Knapp. And she went forward at the end of the service and trusted Christ for salvation. And it was a long time after that before I trusted Christ. Well, a long time, like many months, over a year. But I did eventually come to understand how much I needed Christ, and through his long suffering, he drew me to himself. I've been involved in WRBC. I've been at Kiel for all these years, 36 years. I've been active in Camp Fairwood on the board, active in the Council of Eight of our WARBC. And I'm happy to be transitioning into this ministry where I can still preach, still serve the Lord at this stage in my life. Well, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This morning I want to talk to you about the secret source of joy. The secret source of joy. So where do you look for happiness? When I think of happiness, toward the top of my list might be a cappuccino almond fudge at Culver's. That's got to be up there. It might be fishing on a beautiful summer afternoon in the boat with the girl I love. Or it might be in a snooty coffee shop with that same girl. These things bring me happiness. You know, it could be what you wear. It could be what you drive. Maybe it's the growing financial portfolio. What gives you real pleasure in life? I get a little embarrassed when I read John say, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You see, for John, he didn't get his pleasure from his own personal circumstances. He found pleasure in what was going on in the lives of others. Learning to be blessed by the lives of others might just open a whole world of opportunities for us to experience genuine Christian joy. I hope you've not convinced yourself that for you to have joy, it must be totally dependent on your own circumstances. Maybe if we, like John and like Paul in today's verses, looked outside of our lives, we'd find an endless supply of genuine Christian joy. Our verses today are going to teach this lesson. You can always find joy in your relationship with other believers. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to look into the scriptures, and I pray that you'll open our hearts. I pray you'll open our minds to receive the truth. And even before we hear all the details, Lord, we are committed. We're going to be doers of the word. We're going to listen to what you say, and then as you prompt our hearts, we're going to obey, knowing that you always desire what's best for us. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. To understand, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 10 today. But to understand verses 6 through 10, I've got to tell you a little bit about the setting and what's going on here. So Paul had started the church at Thessalonica, and that's recorded in Acts chapter 17. And in Acts chapter 17, it talks about his ministry there, and then he got run out of town way before he was ready to leave. So he's been away from the church, and now he's worried about what's going on in the church. And so he wants to come back to the church and check on them, because he didn't really feel like he was there long enough to get them grounded in the scriptures. And so now he wants to go back, and he wants to continue to instruct them. So he tried. Notice chapter 2, verse 18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again," or literally again and again, "but Satan hindered us." So Paul says, "I kept trying to come, but Satan got in our way. He hindered us." So that didn't work. So what does he do next? Next, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, when we could forbear no longer," it's like, I just can't take this anymore. I've got to find out what's going on with that church. So, verse 2, "he sent Timothy, our brother, minister of God, fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you, to comfort you." So he sends Timothy to them to help ground them and to find out how they're doing. Look at verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, he repeats it again. It's like, I just can't stand not knowing what's going on in your church. So I sent Timothy. I sent Timothy to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So Paul sends Timothy, and his concern is that the tempter had gotten into the church and messed them up, because way back in Bible times, that's what the devil used to do, right? Well, you know, the devil still works that same way. The devil still likes to get in churches and mess them up, and that was Paul's concern. So Timothy now returns to the Apostle Paul with an encouraging, uplifting report. Now we're in verse 6, but now Timothy came from you to us. So Timothy's made the trip, he's checked on him, he's tried to get him a little bit more established, and now he's coming back, and he's talked to Paul. He says, Timothy came back from you to us, and he brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Timothy comes back with good tidings. You know the Greek word that's translated good tidings literally is good news. Most of the time that word is translated gospel. It's translated gospel, I think, 5 other times in the Thessalonian letter here. Because the gospel, of course, is good news. The gospel is that Jesus died on the cross. When he died because he took our sins upon him, and he was punished there in our place. That's good news. That's our only hope of salvation, by simple faith in what Jesus did for us. Well, that's how we understand that word good news, gospel. But here, Paul uses that word to describe the good report, the good news that came back from Timothy. Paul's heart was filled with joy because of the good news he heard about the church in Thessalonica. Now, you should be putting 2 and 2 together here. I said this message is about this. You can always find joy in your relationship with other believers. And now Paul is finding joy in what's going on in the church at Thessalonica. And today we want to note 5 ways that other people can bless you. 5 ways others can bless you. Number 1, others can give you comfort. Look at verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. We were comforted by you and by your faith. Verse 6, Timothy also mentions that same faith. Timothy came and he brought us good news of your faith and of your charity, of your love. So Paul has been concerned about these people, and he's thinking he needed to be there to help them. But now Timothy comes back and he gives a good report, and that good report was a great source of comfort to the Apostle Paul. Because what are his circumstances right now? What's he going through? Look at verse 7. In all our affliction and distress. So Paul's life is filled with affliction. It's filled with distress, and yet Paul is finding comfort, not from his own circumstances. He's finding comfort from what's going on in the church at Thessalonica. And now I got to talk business with you, because I'm here representing the Wisconsin Association of Regular Baptist Churches. What specifically was the source of Paul's comfort? What specifically? Well, specifically, he got comfort from what was going on in another church. And I say, you too could be comforted in your distress by knowing what is going on in our sister churches. Just hearing that there are people who are trusting Christ in other churches There are people being baptized. Some churches are growing. Some churches have implemented an evangelistic program. Some churches are getting involved in making a difference in their local communities. All these things can bring comfort to your troubled hearts. So we're trying to find five ways others can bless you. Number one, other people can give you comfort. Number two, others can enhance your life. Look at verse 8. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. That sounds a little dramatic to me. Oh, now I can live. But that's kind of what he's been saying. Remember, he says it in verse 1, we could no longer forbear. Verse 5, same words. I could no longer forbear. And now it's like Paul gets the good report and he's saying, now I can make it. Now I can live. Now I can go on because I've heard the good news. You see, the condition of the church in Thessalonica improved Paul's life. Now I can live. One, if you get a great big fat Greek dictionary and you look up what word for live there, one of the definitions is to enjoy real life. To enjoy real life. And it's in that sense that Paul now is living. His life has been enhanced because of what he saw in that other church. And what was it that he saw in that other church? Look at verse 8. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. If you stand fast in the Lord. The word stand fast literally means to be stationary. And for people like me, people like me who are not very good at change, we love that word. To just stand stationary, to not budge, to not move. Sometimes you feel like nobody else believes the truth anymore. I know we do. We feel like we're out there and we're all alone. Maybe you feel all alone in what you believe about creation and evolution. Or maybe you're feeling nobody cares about the lost anymore. Nobody's with me on all this confusion about gender and gender identity. Nobody cares about God's rules for structure in the home or in the local church. Well, this verse shows us that there were others who remained stationary, who were standing fast, and that enhanced the life of Paul. And I can say to you, friends, that the WARBC is I can try to say to you that the WARBC is uncompromisingly committed to the truthfulness and the authority of the Bible. You need to know you're not alone. There's a whole association of churches who are standing fast to the truth of God's word. Now, you hear that. Your response to that might not be like the Apostle Paul. Oh, now I can live. It might not be that dramatic, but at least you can say, oh, that's good. That's good that I'm a part of a group of people who are committed to the authority of God's word. Verse 8 shows us that others can enhance the quality of our life. Number 3, others can make you thankful. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before the Lord? Others can make you thankful. What thanks can we render to God for you? And he is saying, we are so thankful to God for you, the church at Thessalonica. And what were they thankful for? Well, we've talked about a lot of the things. They had a strong faith. They were into charity and love. They were steadfast. They were committed to the word of God. Note also in verse 6, it says this. Another thing he was thankful for, he was thankful that part of that good report, that good tidings, those good tidings were that you have good remembrance of us, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Well, that'll make you thankful when you know that other people want to be with you, want to spend time with you, and that's the case here. Paul was thankful that this church wanted to see him, wanted to be with him. Early in August, my home church had a picnic to recognize my partial retirement at the church. They didn't really promote it that much, didn't send out a lot of invitations, but some word got around, and on that special day, a certain married couple showed up. These this was a couple that had attended our church probably 20 years ago, and they never became members. They didn't attend all the services. They just showed up occasionally. But I had spent some time with them trying to help them, and they showed up to this picnic, and I happened to be out on an errand at that time, and so they walked into the picnic shelter. This is according to my wife. And the husband walks in and he says about me, "Where is that little bugger?" Such an enduring comment like that. It was good. It meant a lot to me for this couple to come. They're not in the Kiel area anymore. They had to make a trip. They had to drive a ways. But they came just because they wanted to express their appreciation to me. They wanted to be with me on that special day. You see, knowing that others want to see us, want to be with us, will bless us. And those of us who have kids who've grown up, got married, and gone away, it's a blessing when those kids want to come home, or when the grandkids want to come to see grandma and grandpa. It's a blessing when people want to be at church, when they want to be with other people. All these things make us thankful. And that is really, that's my vision, that's my dream for the WARBC, that people would want to get together. I mentioned earlier that we have a fall conference coming up at our church. And it's going to be on the Lord's Supper. Pastor Smith will be one of our speakers. And I expect to learn. I expect that probably our church will implement some of the things we learn, that this might be a conference that will change the way we do the Lord's Supper. Now, you can't change a lot. I mean, the guidelines, the order, the instructions are pretty clear. But I'm looking forward to this conference. You know, it's one thing to go to a conference because you will personally benefit from it. It's another thing to go to a conference like ours just because you know you're going to love the people who are there. And it wouldn't matter what our conference was on. I think I could go and I would love to be there because I love our kind of people. And that's another source of joy, just wanting to be with others. That can make you thankful. We're saying others can bless you. You can be comforted by others. Number two, others can enhance your life. Number three, they can make you thankful. Number four, in verse 9, others can give you joy. We give thanks to God. What thanks can we render to God again for you all? For the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes. You make us rejoice. You, the church at Thessalonica, you are the reason we rejoice before God. And again, we're saying that these verses say you can always find joy in your relationship with other believers. Paul found genuine joy. This was joy before the Lord. That would be the highest form of joy. He found it in his relationship with the church at Thessalonica. And one reason we're not happier people might be that we have bought into the idea that joy must be solely based on our own experiences. We struggle to believe that what's happening in your life can actually make me joyful. But it's not a secret. I said it's the secret of source of joy. It's not a secret. Chris Bronze wrote a book called Bound Together, and in that he says, Paul, in his letters, about 50 times uses the words joy or rejoice. About 50 times. Of those 50 times, In 34 of them, now I'll quote, he connects his experience of joy to his relationship with other believers. So this isn't the only place where Paul says, I get my joy from other people. It's 34 out of 50 times he talks about joy. He says, I get it not from my own experiences. I get it from what goes on in the lives of other people. Others can give you joy. And my desire is to see our WARBC churches rejoicing over one another. You know, there's a thing that took place in a First Baptist temple in Oshkosh. I don't know if you've kept up with what's going on in that church, but they have they're moving to Omro, and for years and years they've wanted to relocate because they're downtown and they have no parking, and so they've wanted to relocate. Well, what enabled it was a prime factor was that they got an inheritance that came from a girl who occasionally went to church. I mean, from this lady who died and left them money. She was an occasional visitor to their church when she was younger. It's not like she came from the family was involved or anything, but she was in part of the church, and she moved away, and eventually she went to heaven and left the church this generous gift. That's just a great story. And we're talking about finding joy over what's going on in other churches. Well, that's a great example. Pastor Rick Melvin in Genoa City has resigned the church. That's not all that happy. But he left because he's going to become a full-time military chaplain. We're going to have one of us, the people who solidly stands on the scriptures, who's going to be ministering to our soldiers and discipling our soldiers. That's all these things are good news. And you might be thinking, well, how are we just church members, how are we supposed to know what's going on in the other churches in the WARBC? How can that ever happen? Well, I'm about to tell you how it could happen. We have a weekly email designed to keep you informed and to encourage you to pray over what's happening in our churches. And if you would like to get that weekly email, there's a sign-up sheet on the table in the back of the sanctuary. You can just put your name and your email address, and we'll see that you get included in that. If there's like a really, really long line just, you know, wrapping around because everybody wants to sign up, you could also just come to my wife up here. She's got a list, and give her your name and email. And we'll see that you get informed on what's going on. And again, the point we're making is when you know what's going on in other churches, when you know what's going on in the lives of others, this can be a never-ending source of joy for you, just like it was for the Apostle Paul. Others can give you comfort. Others can enhance your life. Others can make you thankful. Others can make you joyful. And finally, others can give you hope. In verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So verse 10, I believe this is saying that others can give you hope. Others can give you hope. The word hope isn't actually used in the verse. I define hope, I probably robbed it from someone, but I don't know who to give it credit to, as a positive attitude of expectancy. Hope is a positive attitude of expectancy. It's a positive attitude. And you are expecting that something is going to happen. And Paul, he's been praying night and day because he wants to go come and see them. And now he's got a better attitude about it. Now he's thinking, I think this is going to happen. And so his hope has been revived. And he wants to go see them because he loves them. He wants to find out how they're doing. But there's another reason he wants to go see them. He's hopeful that he can come and see them because he wants to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. It's important that you understand this, that this is a church that needed a little guidance. Paul's whole purpose for going there was he wanted to correct what was lacking in the church. This was not a perfect church. You need to know this. You need to know that the WARBC is filled with less than perfect churches, and we're all pastored by less than perfect pastors. But these verses show us you can be blessed by those who are less than perfect. The whole reason Paul wanted to go to this church that gave him comfort and life and thanksgiving and joy, the whole reason he wanted to go is because he wanted to help them to grow. He wanted to perfect what was lacking. They were lacking. When we have new members who are coming into our church, I sit with them and we go through some classes, and I say to them, now we have an unofficial, this is my, I just designated this as the unofficial church verse. It's James 3:2, which says, we all offend in many ways. We all offend in many ways. And I paraphrase that, and I say my paraphrase of that is, around here, we all sin a lot, and we do it in a lot of different ways. I agree with James. And I tell the people who come into our church, we are not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor. You can be sure you will be disappointed by some of what I do. I will disappoint you. You'll be disappointed by other people in our church. And a lot of times when they're new, they don't see that. You know, they think everybody's perfect. But get to know us and you'll see we're all just sinners saved by the grace of God. We love Jesus, but we have the flesh. We struggle. We all have our weaknesses. We're all growing. But Paul says, there's the church at Thessalonica. You got some things that are lacking. You're not perfect. But this church was a constant source of blessing to the Apostle Paul. So then, as we conclude, I'd just say, let's determine to look for joy in our relationship with other believers. Now, I've kind of been focusing here on other churches and what you can see, how you can be blessed by knowing what's going on in other churches, because that's kind of my job. You know, I'm here as the WARBC state builder. But you should be able to pick up. This is a lot broader principle than that. And you've heard that from the testimony. I heard it this morning as Jerry gave the testimony about Annette. That others were a great source of comfort and joy to this family. And you know that our church prayed for Annette and for family, and other churches in our East Central Fellowship, I know, have prayed for the family. That's part of what we do as an association of churches. But the broader truth is, it's not just churches, it's other believers. You can find joy in the good fortune of others. We can always rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to rejoice? These verses about being joyful ought to encourage us. Who doesn't want a little more joy in their lives? So God help us to look for joy in our relationship with other believers. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the things that we've considered. Thank you for this passage of Scripture that gives Paul as the example of one in his own time of his words were affliction and distress. He was able to find comfort and real life and reasons to give thanks and joy and hope as he looked outside of his own circumstances into what was going on in the lives of others. Lord, help us to learn this simple lesson, this not-so-secret source of joy. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.